You're listening to Geek Fallout Reloaded, the news and discussion podcast for geeks by geeks. And we are a proud member of the Pop Culture Pub Podcast Network. Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to Geek Fallout Reloaded, the news and discussion podcast for geeks by geeks. I'm your host. My name is Chris Lockhart, and I am joined once again by my co-host in crime, Mr. Kevin Decent. How's it going, Kevin?
It is going well, Chris, and I hope all of the listeners have an easy time finding this episode, especially if they find it usually through our Facebook links.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you in Canada, but here in the States, Facebook was down for about half the day, I think.
Really? Well, up here it was like maybe 5 minutes. It wasn't very long. I actually caught it because I was in Facebook and then it like booted me out. And then it said I had to log back in, and then I logged back in. And then it was giving me the warning like, oops, something happened. And I was like, maybe I got hacked. But then, yeah, like I went and checked my Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it. And what else did I check? I think, Instagram. Well, Instagram wasn't working either.
Right.
But X was working, and YouTube was working. So, yeah. I didn't go into panic mode, because I figured, yeah, something's going on. But then I saw all the memes shortly after that.
Well, I had a coworker got a text saying, "Hey, is your Facebook working?" From someone in another building.
Yep.
And then I checked mine too, because I know what phone she has. I know I have a different phone, and I thought, no, mine is like, I got an alert saying that you've been signed out of everything. I thought, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
And what I said, okay, well, if it's the three of us, then it's got to be a bigger problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went on Twitter. I don't know why. I don't know why if one of these things is down or attacked or whatever, they're not all attacked or down. You know, there's always one of them you can turn to get information that's not crashing at the moment. So I saw the post and I just let it go. And topical here for our Geek Fallout Reloaded episode. Between that and then there was there's a rumor that Congress in U.S. is going to try to ban TikTok. They just really want to get rid of it because it's based in China.
Yeah.
And between this maybe upcoming ban and Facebook and Instagram being down for, you know, a while here, it was like maybe half the day. It was enough that, you know, we all saw the things early in the morning, and then like the afternoon news shows were all talking about it, saying it's still down for some people. So it was wild, but I just had this wave come over me. I'm like, if any of these apps are gone, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like that's one less thing I feel like I have to check and look at every day.
It I don't know if you ever get this feeling, but sometimes, you know, like I've heard a number of people say this, like especially where I live with all the wildfires we had last year, actually that we've had the last few years, where people have just said, actually, I wouldn't mind if my house burnt down. You know, like it'd be nice to start over, and I'd get the money for a new house.
Yeah,
that's kind of like the social media thing. It's like, yeah, if I don't ever get in again, would it really be that bad? The only thing is, I will say, it is nice that these things are there to continue if, you know, something does happen to us personally, like if we die. Because I know my wife's aunt passed away a couple of years ago now, and her husband, like, had all their social medias deleted, which was kind of sad because, like, you know, I would like to have gone back to her Facebook and Because she posted pictures and, you know, different trips she was on. And I was actually looking for, there was some reason I was looking for a picture of her. And I couldn't find any because her social media was gone. And her husband, like Crystal's uncle, he's not on social media. So I can't go to his social media to get pictures of them or anything like that for, you know. But then I do have friends and relatives that have passed away, and their Facebook accounts are still there. Like, and I can still go to them and you know, wish them a happy birthday, even though they're, you know, not here anymore. So it's kind of a nice thing that it's there, and maybe will be there for years to come. I kind of feel like that way about these podcasts, and also for my blog, because, like, if I pass away, my family can go back to these podcasts and listen to them. You know, as long as I still have as long as I don't close my banking account, the podcasting website's paid for each month. So, I guess I should let my wife know. You know, maybe keep that going so you guys can download all the content if you want to hear my voice. But the blog I pay nothing for, so it'll, in theory, still stay there. But
yeah, my friend Jason that passed last year, I've gone back and listened to his podcast.
Yeah.
You know, just to hear silly stories, hear the voice, you know, remember things, yeah, whatever it might be. And yeah, I agree with you of you want to keep, especially our own voices, not so much sharing mm-hmm. things on social media and, you know, retweeting or reposting or whatever.
Yep.
But things that are purely us. I definitely feel the same of, I want it to stay out there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just like you know, like we podcast, we write. It's no different than, you know, a writer of novels or an actor. You know, like they, you know, they want their movies or TV shows to keep going on for years to come, so they'll be remembered. It's really no different, to be honest.
Yeah.
But what's it like where you're at there, Kev, in New York? It's gotten warmer there, hasn't it? Or do I guess that wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. It has. It's not quite there yet. We had one day it was in the 1 or 2 days it was in the 60s.
Mm.
And one day I came home, I opened up some windows, let some air flow through, let some sunshine in.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right, we're not quite there yet. And then even though it was warm, it was raining and windy.
Mm.
And I thought, all right, we're just not quite there. And then the wind... We had a 40-degree temperature drop in under 24 hours.
Oof, yep.
And anytime that happens, now I'm used to it. But we didn't used to have this weather fluctuation like that.
Yeah.
So I knew the windstorm was coming, and sure enough, the windstorm came. I think the highest gust in our area was around 70 miles an hour for one gust of wind from
it. Wow.
Yep. And my neighbors lost their fence.
Holy crap.
They came out in the morning and the fence was leaning on their cars.
Wow.
Just completely ripped out of the ground. And it looks like it tore up the ground when it ripped out of the ground too. Cause they're like I'm seeing truckloads of dirt that are in their backyard to redo the ground before they can put the post in.
Yikes.
I was like, holy crap, from this one storm. I was thankful that, you know, my place was all right for it.
Yeah.
My kid called me that night because he was all upset, like, couldn't fall asleep because of the wind and how bad it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, that's just how it is here with the temperatures being all over the place.
Yep.
We've been like a steady 50 and raining pretty much for a few days. So you don't feel like you can really open up windows because the rain's pushing all the cold air that's still around inside.
Yeah.
But you know it's coming, and I think that's the thing. And you can kind of sense like an attitude, around, not in a bad way, but you can sense everyone's like, when is that nice sunny day coming?
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel we're going to see a lot of people call in sick to work that day.
Yeah, here we did have the big temperature drop off. It started like a week and a half ago. Like we were like the one day we're at like plus 13, and this is Celsius, of course. So we're at like plus 13. And then we ended up dropping down to like minus 30. So yeah, it was like a 40 degree drop. It sucked. It really did. And then on top of that, it was snowing. So because it had been so warm, all that water turned to ice, and then we had the snow on top of it, plus we had wind that created snowdrift. So today, it was a nice sunny day, and I actually got stuck parking, like, because I stay at a room when I'm away at work. And just outside my room, I got stuck. I was driving up to park, because it's kind of like on an incline. And then I hit like an icy patch, so my tires started spinning. So then I started like falling back. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'll just back a little bit, and then I'll take another run at it. But there was so much snow, and it just kind of blended in with the ground that I was sunk. So I spent like 45 minutes going back and forth and jumping out and shoveling by my tires to get my van back out of it. And I almost hit the one guy's fence that lives behind us, because I kept like, it seemed like every time I'd go forward, I'd go like a foot back. And that this just kept going on and on. So finally, to get out, I had to just take it in reverse. And I was like, I'm hoping I don't slide into this guy's fence. I really hope not. I came probably within inches of hitting his fence, but I didn't.
Oh, wow.
But I managed to back out and get out of there. So I'm sent, because it's warming up now. It's minus 21 right now, but by morning it's supposed to be like minus 15. So I've just parked on the street. I'm not worried about plugging my van in.
Yeah.
But man, was that a piss off. Like 45 minutes I was dealing with this. But the thing that upset me the most was the fact that like two people drove past me and didn't even like stop to like, hey, you need a hand or anything. They just drove past. I'm like, really? I don't know how many times I've like, if I pass somebody that's stuck, I'll stop and give them a push or even if I don't end up helping them, like if we can't get them out or whatever, at least I made an effort. But yeah, no efforts were given. I was just so glad I got it out myself. I was figuring I might have to get a tow truck, which is not easy in the town that I'm staying in. Like I figured, they probably won't be able to get me out till tomorrow if I can't find somebody to like give me a hand. But, but anyway, I got through it. It's all good. Like I said, just a little disappointed with humanity, that people see someone in need and they're like, nah, not my problem, but whatever. I know not everyone's like that, so. All right, so to continue on a downer note, we're going to go into our In Memoriam segment. So this was February 28th, comedian and actor Richard Lewis passed away. He passed away, I believe, from cancer on the 28th of February. And, I mean, I think he's been sick for a few years.
Yeah.
Because I know he retired from doing stand-up. He was still doing the occasional episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm the last few years, but it was pretty evident that, his health was declining. Like, he was not on it as much, and he didn't look very well. But, I think he was 74, I believe. So, yeah, it's too bad. He was funny. I really liked him. I just found out he was in, I think I have a vague recollection of his sitcom with Jamie Lee Curtis. I think I kind of remember it, but I don't think it was on very long, but I just thought that was cool that he was on that in a sitcom with Jamie Lee Curtis. And he was also, I believe, the Jewish rabbi friend on Seventh Heaven, like he would show up on that show once in a blue moon. And then, like I said, of course, he's on Curb Your Enthusiasm. But, Kev, what are your thoughts on Richard Lewis?
I'm trying to... Yep, you're right. 9 episodes of Seventh Heaven.
He seemed like he was on there more than that, but yeah, I guess... Because I used to watch Seventh Heaven back in the day, like when I still lived at home, because my mom used to watch it, so... That's an experience I don't think kids these days will understand. You know, like the one TV in the house, and you guys all watch the same program. Like, now that kids can watch things on their phones and their tablets, their laptops, you don't have, like, that family, you know, forced viewing, because you got to wait your turn.
No, and I've made the point, too, I mean, to side tangent here. That's how you discovered stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I would never watch this, but Grandma and Grandpa are watching All in the Family, or, you know, whatever it might be, or Mom wants to watch this thing. And, I mean, sometimes it was, I'll say, good, you know, oh, I'm watching Cheers and Night Court far younger than I should be watching them.
Yeah.
But it's because, you know, Mom wants to watch funny shows at night, and there's one TV in the house, and I'm pretending I'm reading a book or doing homework, but I'm watching Sam and Diane, you know?
Yeah.
So Richard Lewis, the sitcom was Anything But Love.
Right. Yep.
Which lasted 56 episodes. And I swear it was syndicated, but I can't imagine it being syndicated with 56 episodes. But anyways.
Yeah.
I remember him, talking about One TV, the heyday of 80s cable TV, when every channel, I swear, had, stand-up shows.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much stand-up comedy on there. And I think he was, and I hope I'm saying this in a respectful way and it's coming out that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he was the first, like, very Jewish comedian I was exposed to at that time.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, and I don't mean that in any bad way by any means.
No.
But, like, the Jewish and the New York attitude, and I never knew what that was before. And I think he was, like, my gateway into that.
Mm-hmm.
And see it. And he was, you know, I mean, I always liked him in stuff, but for whatever reason, nothing carried me over to, like, he being an all-time favorite, or, oh, he's on something, I need to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, always liked him, always, in anything I saw, like, oh, cool, he's in this too. But it just, for whatever reason, never carried over to a bigger fandom for me.
Yeah, for me, it was, like, during the pandemic, I got into binging Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he was one of those, he's kind of like I'd compare him to, you know, like there was a Bare Naked Lady song where they mentioned, you know, watching X-Files with no lights on. I hope the Smoking Man's in this one. Because you knew if Smoking Man showed up on an episode of the X-Files, it was going to be an awesome episode, right? That's how I felt with Richard Lewis with Curb Your Enthusiasm. When he showed up, it's like, you know, it's going to be comedy gold. Like, this is going to be awesome. So, yeah, the last couple... Like, I haven't watched the new season that's out yet. I know he's in it a little bit. But I know, like, the last couple years, he hadn't been in it very much. So it was disappointing, like, when he wouldn't show up. But then he would show up. You know, like, I mean, they've introduced new people into it, like John Hamm shows up quite a bit now, and Vince Vaughn plays a character on the show. He's like Super Dave's nephew, because of course Bob, I'm drawing a blank on his last name, the guy who played Super Dave, he plays a character, or played Bob
Osborne.
So, yeah, Super Dave Osborne. But no, his real name's Bob something.
Yeah.
I'm trying to blank. But anyway, because he passed away in real life, so now Vince Vaughn can't kind of comes in as playing his nephew. although his character, that like as far as I know, they haven't written his character out of the show. They just say he's living in China now because he met a Chinese lady and moved there. Which I guess is supposed to be funny, but I don't know. I just kind of wish they would have acknowledged his passing. But
Bob Einstein.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, like between him, Richard Lewis, and Larry David, like it's just hilarious. It's comedy gold. But anywho, and then I also learned that same day that former WWF star, WWE, Virgil passed away. He was only 61. That blows my mind. I met him back in 2012. Yeah, it was 2012. That's when I met the Million Dollar Man, Honky Tonk Man, Jake the Snake. You know, that's what, you know, the story where he offered to beat me up for my stepson if he wanted him to. But Virgil was also there. I remember. I think he was the first wrestler we went to his table, and I don't know, he was just so happy to have us there. Like, he was so nice, and he was, you know, signing stuff for Bailey, and but then I don't know too much about Virgil, and Kev, you know, I know you'll be able to speak to this a little bit, but I guess he was kind of a black sheep of, you know, using air quotes, black sheep of wrestling. Like, he wasn't well liked in some circles, as far as I understand. Is that true?
I think he got the reputation of a hanger-on.
Oh, okay.
And like a lackey in a way. Let me attach myself to more popular acts, more famous ones.
Okay.
And then when someone goes to a new promotion and makes sure all their friends get hired, I'll get hired too.
Oh, okay.
And the whole thing, like, he was, what the heck was it? Soul Man Mike Jones, Soul Something Mike Jones on the Indies. He gets brought in as Ted DiBiase's, employee for the whole Million Dollar Man gimmick. And played that part so well.
Yeah.
And then he's pushed around, and he has his moment of finally fighting back. Huge moment, huge pop from the crowd. Has a match against DiBiase, but then what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, he's did his storyline, there's nowhere to go from there, you know? And that was kind of the problem with it. It's like, well, now what? And he randomly showed up in WCW as part of the NWO, and it was, you know, you're friends with the right people and everything, but he was just there.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, he was having great matches with any of these programs or anything like that.
Yeah.
And his whole thing, like, he comes in, he's named Virgil. You're like, oh, Virgil, what a stupid name. What a ridiculous name. They called him Virgil because that's Dusty Rhodes' real name. Virgil Runnels.
Yeah.
So it was WWE, WWF, doing a rib on the promoter for NWA, WCW, the other company.
Yeah.
And then when he went to WCW as part of the NWO, they called him Vincent, which was a joke against Vince McMahon.
Okay.
So, like, he's being used as this punchline for stuff and not his own person.
Yeah.
But there, like, he was very sarcastic, and I don't know if he was playing a bit or if he really thought so, but like, all of his social media for years and years was acting like he was a bigger star than he was.
Yeah.
You know, and for anything wrestling, who knows where, you know, a character ends and a real person begins for it.
Yeah.
I mean, the one story is a big part of being a child and watching WWF through that era.
Yeah.
Great, all-time great story. But other than that, like, honestly, he's a hanger-on.
Yeah, I was on a podcast, this is like, I don't know, 11 years ago or whatever, and we were talking about wrestling, and I had mentioned that, Virgil was there, and I know they were kind of like, they didn't seem to like him, and I didn't inquire as to like what, why, because I didn't know, but yeah, I could see why people may not like that. Like I said, like Bailey and I met him at the Calgary Comic Con in 2012, and he was super nice. He almost didn't like let us go. Like he just wanted us to stay there and keep talking to him. I kind of felt bad for him because like people were lined up for Million Dollar Man. There's people lined up for Honky Tonk Man, and Jake the Snake, but no one was really lined up for Virgil. Like we just kind of jumped in there because there was nobody there. And then when we got there, he just really didn't want to let us go. He wanted us to stay there. But anyway, it made my son's day, even though my son didn't know who he was, like, to be honest. But it was still cool, you know, and my son was pretty excited. So, yeah, when I saw this, that he passed away, I sent the link to my son because, yeah, that was probably, yeah, I think that was the first. No. He met the Dudley brothers. Or the Dudley boys, sorry. Right? Dudley boys?
Yeah, Dudley boys.
Yeah. He met them a year earlier in Edmonton. But aside from them, Virgil was like one of the first wrestlers he ever met. So, and super nice guy. So, I, like I said, I didn't understand why those podcasters didn't care for him. But, you know, after hearing what you're saying, you know, I could see why that would rub people the wrong way a little bit. I'm not sure what he passed away from, but
I don't remember off the top of my head. I don't. He was sick and in bad health for a while.
Yeah, and it's too bad. Like he was only 61 because the picture I'm seeing of him from inside the ropes, he looked good. Like when we saw him, he looked kind of like he did in his wrestling days. Like, but yeah, it's too bad. So I don't know if you're a baseball guy there, Kev. But I saw this and I thought this was really sad.
Hang on here. So he had colon cancer.
Mm.
He ended up having he had two. Okay, hang on. He revealed in 2022 he had two strokes and was diagnosed with dementia. Mm. A month later, he says he was diagnosed with colon cancer again back in 2022.
Yeah.
Then in February 2024, he was diagnosed with two additional strokes and ended up dying days later. Oh. Sorry. So sorry.
Oh, no problem.
So he was, he said he was 61. He lied about his age. It turned out he was 72.
Oh, okay. I was going to say 61 seems pretty young, but yeah. But like I said, back then he looked pretty good for, you know, but anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's too bad. That's a lot to go through, you know, in the last couple of years. Jeez. But anyway, I mentioned, you know, this is a baseball story. Boston Red Sox pitcher Tim Wakefield passed away 5 months ago. And then his wife, February 28th, also died 5 months after her husband. So Tim Wakefield's widow, Stacy, dies 5 months after the Boston Red Sox pitcher. The loss is unimaginable, especially in the wake of losing Tim just under 5 months ago, the Wakefield family said in a statement. Both died of cancer. He had brain cancer, and she had pancreatic cancer.
Jeez.
So, yeah, that's terrible. You know, 5 months. So, yeah, you know, condolences to their family. That's terrible. And then, I don't know if you saw this, Kev, but in Canada, on February 29th, former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney passed away at the age of 84. also from cancer.
I saw. I think you shared something.
Yeah, he passed away also from cancer. And it's crazy because, of course, watching the news, and at the time of this recording, Super Tuesday was yesterday in the States. Not related to the Superman family at all. But apparently, I can't remember her name, the one that was running against Trump, Nikki Haley. She's dropped out, so now it's going to be Trump and Biden, probably, this year for the election. And Biden is in his 80s?
Yes.
And Trump is like 78 or 79 as well?
Yes.
And that just blows my mind, because Brian Mulroney was 84 when he passed away, and he hasn't been in politics since 1993. Like, he does, you know, like, he does show up for things. He did the eulogy for Ronald Reagan. He did the eulogy for George H.W. Bush, because he was friends with both of those when he was prime minister, both of those presidents when he was prime minister. And, I mean, he would do public events and, you know, usually elections, they would ask his analysis on certain things, and, you know, he would show up. But he hasn't actively been in politics since 1993. So we're talking, like, 31 years ago. So at 84, he dropped out of politics when he was, like, what, 53?
Yeah.
And that's when he decided, like, I'm old enough, it's time for me to hang up my hat and retire. And yet, Trump and Biden, like, just blows my mind that, you know, we have these elderly guys fighting it out. And I just, fingers crossed, I'm hoping it works out, but, oof. Every time I see Joe Biden, like, on TV and he's, like, doing a little jog or something, I'm so worried he's going to, like, slip and break his leg. He looks so frail. Like, I just, ugh. I know we're not supposed to talk about politics on this podcast, but I just think of Brian Mulroney and, you know, him retiring so young, and, you know, these guys are still, like, there's got to be somebody else that people would vote for. Like, I mean, like, the next election, someone's going to have to. Like, there's no way if Joe Biden loses, he's coming back for another election in 4 years. Like, I mean, he could. My God, I hope not. And then for Trump, if he wins this election, then that's it for him. He legally can't do it again, right?
Correct. Well, all right.
Because I know, like, that was the question. Like, it's usually two terms per president, but is it consecutive terms? Or could you theoretically throw in another term in there if it's not consecutive?
It is two terms total.
Okay.
So
2028, I mean, like, we got to get a new president for sure by then.
Either way.
Yeah.
My opinions and feelings are out there. And I have changed my... Because, I mean, I've been friends with you online for years. Mm-hmm. I, at first, I would fight with everyone and post my arguments and get into, you know, horrible political fights with family and friends.
Yep.
And people start deleting each other from social media and all this. And you know what? And then it got me nowhere. The 4 year term, 4 years went by. I didn't get anywhere. I didn't change anyone's mind, and I wasted a lot of time that could have been spent doing other more productive things.
Yeah.
So I'm not going through it all again. And also, I don't like the, like, this isn't sports teams. This isn't yay my team, boo yours.
Mm-hmm.
This should be, hey, these are what I believe in and vote for. Someone else has differing opinions. Let's meet somewhere in the middle. That's how we progress together.
Yeah,
and exactly. That's gone.
No, yeah,
it's either all us. It's all us. Screw you. You know, for both sides, and that's ridiculous. And that's why nothing's happening. Yes, Biden's flat out too old. he's too old, and I'm like, Jimmy Carter's been in hospice for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you go in hospice when you have, like, weeks.
Yeah.
And he's been in for a year, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God, Jimmy Carter's going to outlive Biden. Like, that's how I feel some days.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are like, Biden's too old, I'm going to vote for Trump, that is not a good argument, because if Trump wins, he's going to be the same age.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a ridiculous argument there. Well, he's younger. Yes, but he would still be in office at the same age you are complaining about now.
Yep.
So you're losing your point here. Nikki Haley, I was fine with. Probably wouldn't have voted, but nothing she was saying was throwing up red flags for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, okay, fine. If she got the nomination, she won. Okay. Whoever I voted for didn't win. Better luck next time. Move forward. That's the way the elections usually work.
Yep.
You know? And then she dropped out, so we just have, like, a rematch here. And I'm like, all right, we have had everyone fight and fight and fight for years, and in the end, we have these two very senior citizens, and neither party put up an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys had, there's 4 years in between elections. You could have spent 4 years taking some governor, some senator, whatever, and building that person up, so in 4 years you're like, wow, I've seen this person and I enjoy what they say and they're a great speaker and they can get a crowd behind them and everything, and I think that person has a chance. And no one did anything to build anyone up either side.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point I'm like, I don't think either of them are in good health. I could absolutely see one of them dying before November. Yeah. Before election day in November. And then what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think something chaotic, like a death, is going to happen. And, I mean, in the end, just the way stuff is set up, and, you know, it's more, for a lot of things, it's more your state than overall for the country.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things where I'm like, my life is not going to change. You know, but overall, I'm like, oh my God, can you imagine if a candidate dies in the middle of election season when they're running on like 2 hours of sleep a night, different cities, mm-hmm. different states, every other day, fundraising, promoting, all the stuff. Like, it's exhausting for someone half their age.
Yeah.
You know, I've just seen something bad coming. I don't want there to be, but I can't shake the feeling of it.
Well, and that's the thing. Like I said, like, Brian Mulroney was much older, and yeah. He just passed away. But I just wanted to quickly say, like, one thing I really like about the states is you guys have that two-term rule. We don't have that in Canada. So for, like, Justin Trudeau, he's been in power already for 8 years, and he could potentially be in there for another three. There's a two. I can't remember when we had our last election. But anyway, yeah, like, I wish we had two terms. You know, like, Brian Mulroney himself was a prime minister for 9 years. Because I just, honestly, I do think after, you know, two terms, you know, things kind of get stagnant. Like, things don't change. You know, like, you... Like, if you haven't done what you set out to do in two terms, you know, I don't think another term's going to help you. Like, I wish we had that up here in Canada. But anyway.
Well, there was, because we didn't have it until that article did not exist until World War II.
Okay.
Franklin Roosevelt was elected for 4 terms, and he died in office during his 4th term.
Mm.
But it's the middle of World War II. It was pretty much like you don't switch horses mid-race kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you understand why he kept getting elected. And then as soon as he died, they're like, okay, we're going to change this law. When Hillary Clinton was running, one of the things against her was people said, okay, if she wins, even if she only wins one term, you got 4 years of Bush Sr., 8 years of Bush W. Bush, mm-hmm. eight years of Bill Clinton, and then if you got 4 years of Hillary Clinton, that's 24 years where only two families were in charge of the United States.
Yep.
I'm like, ooh, you put it that way, and it suddenly sounds a little, you know, monarchy in a way.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. And that's not to get to that election at all, but, like, that was one of the things people bring up. I'm like, okay, I can see that. People are also wondering, they're like, what if Hillary Clinton won and had Bill Clinton as her vice president? And having a former president as vice president would make some sense.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be someone that could really help you and guide you and all. But then what if you died in office and that person already had two terms? Can they finish out a term? And nothing's ever been, I don't think, officially figured out for that. I'm not quite sure. But it's never come up, so I don't know if anyone's actually passed laws to decide which way to go for that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's never come up, right? Because I guess it would default, right, to the Speaker of the... Is it the...
Speaker of the House comes next, yeah.
Yeah.
So I could see that. You cannot... The president passed, you are vice president, but you've already served 8 years, so you cannot serve more, so therefore it goes to Speaker.
Yeah.
I could see it going that way. I think it'd have to be a Supreme Court decision at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember thinking, like, when Joe Biden got in, like, he should have had Barack running with him, but, you know, it is good to change things up, but, you know, I don't know. I just think Barack would have been a better vice president, but anyway, getting back to talking about Brian Mulroney, he wasn't technically my first prime minister, but he's the first prime minister I remember, because I believe Joe Clark was prime minister when I was born, and I know who he is. I've seen him. He actually was my member of, like, the guy who was our member of parliament for several years, so I, of course, I knew him, but I knew who Brian Mulroney was, and I really felt that, you know, I didn't agree with everything Mulroney did. For one thing, his government introduced the GST to Canada, and that's a nationwide tax that we all pay for everything. And that came in when I was 7 years old, so I've been paying taxes since I was seven. Because, yeah, you buy a pack of gum, you pay, back then it was 7% GST on it, so.
Okay, yeah, we got that as sales tax, yeah.
Yeah, because you guys got individual state taxes, but there's states that don't have taxes at all, right?
Right.
See, in Canada, we have a nationwide tax, which is our GST, but then certain provinces have provincial sales taxes on top of that. Thankfully, I live in Alberta, and that doesn't happen here. But I know if you go to Ontario and BC, like, you're paying, like, 15% extra on whatever you buy. Between GST. Well, it might not be that much, because GST has actually come down to 5%. It was 7% when Brian Mulroney and them and the Conservatives brought it in. But... you know, so I wasn't a big fan of that. You know, I've been paying that since I was 7 years old, and anything I buy. But I mean, Brian Mulroney also was, I think, well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say he was like the first statesman type of prime minister where people knew who he was. Like, he had a really good relationship with Ronald Reagan and George Bush. Which was very good for Canada, of course, because, you know, the States is our neighbor and our most powerful ally. So it's good to be on good terms. But actually, Pierre Trudeau, Justin Trudeau's dad, probably was the first one that was more internationally known, because he was friends with Castro and different people. like celebrities, kind of like Justin Trudeau, like he's like a celebrity guy. But anyway, Prime Mulroney overall was pretty good prime minister, I think. And yeah, it's too bad that he passed away. All right, so let's move on to our news segment. And Kevin, do you have any news this week?
Oh, I have things. What do you have?
I have absolutely nothing, to be honest.
No? Okay. All right. I have, I just want your opinion on a disturbing thing.
Okay.
And I don't believe we talk about that before, but we all know how I am for that stuff. I just forget things in between shows.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get a Dune popcorn bucket?
I would have if my theater offered it, but they didn't, so I didn't get one. No? No. I've seen them.
I don't know how it got made.
Someone on my Facebook friends group, he got one. I'm not sure what theater he went to. And his comment was, I don't know what to think of this. And I was going to comment, but I didn't. I was going to say, there's going to be someone out there having sex with that thing. That's what's going to happen.
There already is.
Oh.
So
I knew it. I knew it was going to happen.
Apparently some guy posted on, I don't know who the heck the guy is, but some guy posted, if I have X number of followers in 24 hours, I will, do that act on my OnlyFans.
Yikes.
And however many followers he said it would take, he got. Yeah. And yeah. So, which means he got paid for it too.
Yeah. It's so sad, like the state of humanity.
Yeah.
Like I seen those things, the popcorn things, and I was like, that was my first reaction, was someone's gonna do that. But then I was like, you know what? I think this will be worth something someday. Like, you know, because I'm gonna talk about Brain Candy, but I really enjoyed the movie. So I was like, you know, it'd be cool to cool souvenir to have with that movie. But, you know, like I said, they didn't have it at my theater, so.
Yeah. No, I might be going to a movie. I got it. I'm so sorry. I got sneezed that stuck.
Uh-oh.
There we go. So sorry.
the stuck sneeze.
Yeah, I could not focus.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst. And the worst is when you lose it.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's like, yeah, damn it. I wasted like 10, 15 seconds, you know, getting prepared, and then nothing.
Yeah, you're just waiting for it to come back.
Yeah, exactly. But sorry, Kev, you're going to say? You were thinking about going to the movie or something?
Oh, not Dune. I got two movies that I might be seeing this month, depending on if my kid actually wants to go see him or if he's just saying he wants to.
Okay.
But I'll be looking out for what popcorn buckets are available.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I knew that was going to happen. I just knew it.
Yeah. All right, so much more attractive than a Dune popcorn bucket is Ming-Na Wen,
mm-hmm.
who was announced will be in the next Karate Kid movie.
Oh, cool.
Oh.
So this is the one with Ralph Macchio
and Jaden Smith or whatever, yeah.
Oh, is he going to be in it? Oh, man.
It's rumored it's like everything Karate Kid being put together.
Well, I knew Jackie Chan was going to be in it, but I didn't realize Jaden, but I guess if that's...
Oh, no, I'm scrolling through, you're right, it says Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan, so it's combining those worlds, but not necessarily all the actors.
Yeah, because I'm wondering who, if Jackie Chan's going to be, like, Mr. Miyagi's nephew or something. Because I think in that movie he was Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there could obviously be more than Mr. Miyagi's. I'm not the only Mr. Lockhart, so.
Right, exactly. So it could still work.
Yeah.
I'll be curious, and I mean, she's absolutely wonderful in everything.
Oh yeah, she's fantastic, and she's a fan. Like, that's the cool thing about her. Like, I know there was like a San Diego Comic Con when she showed up as Slave Leia. That just blew my mind. I was like, that is so cool. You know, you're in Star Wars and you're dressing up as Princess Leia in her slave outfit.
Yeah.
And she can pull it off.
Yeah, no, she's wonderful. Like, I might see a trailer for that movie and decide to go see it just for her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I would definitely go see that Karate Kid movie. I got to finish Cobra Kai, but, yeah, I would definitely go see that Karate Kid movie. Even if Jaden Pinkett Smith was in it, I would go see it. But
all right, and then the other thing I have, I don't know if you saw or not, but on Sunday, legendary wrestler Sting wrestled his final match.
And has
officially retired.
Okay, yeah, I saw some of. There was someone else that just retired too, wasn't there?
Not to that level.
Oh no, not to that level. But maybe I'm thinking of the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, they started announcing the Hall of Fame.
Okay, yeah, because it was like Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman, and they announced Bull Nakano today.
Oh, okay.
And gotcha. I'm sure there'll be more.
Yeah. You know, I during my tenure of watching wrestling, I never really did watch Sting very much, to be honest with you. I kind of missed that.
Well, and I mean, it was a weird situation for him too. It is his surfer gear. WWF was huge. Your Hulkamania era,
mm-hmm.
And if you really loved wrestling, you're flipping through. You're like, oh, here's some other wrestling here, and that was your NWA WCW stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't as, I mean, here I am talking about a blonde surfer and face paint, but it wasn't as cartoony as WWE.
Yeah.
So if you, a lot of kids were like, I mean, you had to really like wrestling to keep going with it. And a lot of your older wrestling fans would watch your NWA WCW instead of the more cartoony WWF. Because
mm-hmm.
they wanted the seriousness of it. Then WCW gets huge. You have your Monday Night War. And Sting's up in the rafters looking like the Crow for 2 years.
Yeah.
So you're not even getting to see him wrestle, really. He wrestles more often, but by now the company's on downturn. WCW closes. He goes to TNA Impact Wrestling for years.
Mm-hmm.
Does a lot of good stuff there, but their viewership is not that much. He does less than a year in WWE. I feel like it was definitely less than a year. I can't remember the exact months, November to like maybe July or so.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up getting injured. It's just like, all right, I guess I'm done. But they completely mismanaged him. And like, there's no memorable match. He never had a title there. Like, nothing. They just really did poorly with him.
Mm-hmm.
He takes some time off and AEW's like, come in. What do you want? And they put him in like tag match or multi-person matches. They booked him like a god. And he's just said, I'm having fun. I said, I just want to do this another year, 2 years. I'm having the most fun I've had in a long time. And he was working with like younger talent and helping out and just elevating people and everything. And just having it, you could see it in his face. Like, I'm having fun. And he just said, all right, I'm 60, whatever, 64, 65, like,
oh, wow.
It's yeah, you wouldn't know, though.
Yeah.
Like, does he move like he did in his 20s? No. But does he move like what we thought a 65-year-old would move like? No. Moves much better.
Yeah.
And it was a tag team match, kind of like a anything goes. You know, you can fight out into the crowd. You can jump off stuff. You can have people interfere, and it doesn't cause a DQ for the match. Did it as the main event. Same building he's fought like Ric Flair in, 30 something years ago and all.
Mm-hmm.
And every single wrestler posting their stories. And it came down to no one has a bad thing to say about him.
Yeah.
No one. They had Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, other like retired wrestlers from his era come out to just be there for it. Like, really, in a entertainment platform that can be really crappy sometimes, it was a very classy send-off.
Yeah. Excellent. No, that's awesome. All right, well, let's move on to our brain candy segment. So this is the segment where we discuss things that we've been watching, listening, reading, whatever we've been putting into our brain. And if we want, we can make it a pick or a pan. So, Kevin, what do you got this week for brain candy?
It's been some rewatching for DC stuff. My kid just still loving all the DC stuff. It was, we got 2/3 of the way through the Superman Batman, movie that was, it's 3 episodes of the Superman animated series that they just like re-edited as a movie.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And it's supposed to be the first time Superman and Batman meet, but it's in that great, you know, Batman animated era style.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is just fun.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, as we're watching it, I'm like, it's fun. He's enjoyed it, but not quite the same level.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh my gosh, is it because it's still the old, like, what is it, 4:3 aspect ratio, like our old TV sides?
Yeah.
And it just has black bars on the side?
Yeah.
I'm like, is he not enjoying it as much because it's not filling the screen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really trying to figure that out. But I was like, you know, this stuff happens. The heck else? We rewatched Justice League War, which was the first one for the animated movie universe. It's like the Justice League team all getting together.
Oh, yeah.
And then he sat down at one point. It wasn't with me. He wasn't with me, but he sat down at one point and wanted to watch The Suicide Squad. And the first 5 minutes of that movie, so over the top, he had to turn it off.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say he had nightmares, but, like, images weren't leaving his head.
Yeah.
So he was asking me, he said, what else bad happens? I know the first 5 minutes. Is that the worst? I'm like, from what I remember, that's the worst. So I rewatched the movie. I'm like, okay, the first 5 minutes still, like, the most over-the-top worst part. I'm like, but it's not mm-hmm. like the rest of the movie's, like, you know, squeaky clean stuff. And I said, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the whole Starro thing is, I think, disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah. And even stuff like how they defeat Starro, I'm thinking, buddy, you don't like anything with someone's eyes.
Yeah.
Like, even if I touch my own eye because, you know, I got a little something in the corner of it, you freak out.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be able to handle this movie. But I went ahead and did it. I rewatched it. And I was just like, I really forgot how much I like this movie. I mean, I know which parts would have disturbed him,
mm-hmm.
but rewatching it myself there, I'm like, I really like this. And I thought, as much as I'm breaking down Marvel, like, I think Captain America Winter Soldier is your classic spy movie. It's just told through superheroes. You know, mm-hmm. this is a horror movie told through superheroes, whatever. And the more Suicide Squad stuff I see, and I'm seeing all the stuff for this video game now too, I'm thinking Suicide Squad at this point just, it has to be Grindhouse. It has to be over the top.
Yeah.
People die. There's blood, there's sex, there's swearing, there's whatever. Like, just go for it. And it stands out because it's this very R thing taking place in a PG-13 franchise.
Yeah.
And that makes it pop even more. I'm like, I mean, not that I'm pushing for it, but I'm like, if I ever wrote Suicide Squad for DC, that's totally the way I'm doing it.
Yeah.
This is our over-the-top mature book.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that movie. I remember, like, I've only ever watched it the once, like, when it was in theaters. We went and seen it, and I really enjoyed it. I definitely liked it better than the first one.
Oh, yeah.
But... You know, it's honestly, it's like Shazam 2. Like, I know people kind of crap on it. I liked it. I thought it was, you know, a fun family superhero movie, you know? Like, not Suicide Squad, but Shazam. Like, I thought, you know.
Depends on the family, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it does, yeah. But, yeah, everyone kind of crapped on that, but I was like, you know, it was true to the character. Other than, sometimes I felt like teenage Billy, or Shazam Billy was more immature than teenage Billy. Like, I didn't, like, I felt like they weren't quite on the same page, but.
No, and I thought there was an active decision there.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
Yeah. But, no, yeah, the Suicide Squad, that was pretty good. It's definitely one I want to rewatch. And, I mean, it moved nicely into the Peacemaker show.
Which I need, I mean, I know I'm doing that one on my own for sure. I'll even need to.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even need to debate on that.
Yeah.
But that, I do need to do that one.
Yeah, it was good. Like, it you know, there's always going to be a disconnect when you do a movie versus a TV show. Like, it is going to have a different feel to it, but I liked it, you know.
Right. Well, what he wants to do with the next couple weeks, and we'll see if it works out. He wants to do the new Godzilla Kong movie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all for that. I have no problem taking him for that. And he wants to do the new Ghostbusters one as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm down for both of these ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's excellent. Did you have...
Yes. Nope, sorry. So, I applied for... and got an advanced reader copy of WWE superstar Becky Lynch's autobiography.
Oh, cool.
And the digital advanced copies have whatever code in it that they expire after a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you can do like a 2-read pile and come back to it whenever. Like, the clock's ticking as soon as you get it. So finally finished that today. It's like slightly over 300 pages. I'm sure when it comes out, there'll be, you know, pictures and other stuff in there. But here's this woman, and I liked her from the moment I first saw her on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But here's this beautiful redheaded Irish girl that tries and tries and tries and wins many titles in WWE and is part of, you know, the history making era of women's wrestling. You know, here we're the first ones to do this. We're the first ones to do this. We're the all these first time accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hey, here's the first time women main evented WrestleMania, and she's the one that comes out the winner with the belts. And you're like, wow, what a career! What an awesome thing! And the crazy thing throughout all of this, all these like great accomplishments, that just one of them would be enough for someone to say, I'm set for life. I'm the first person to ever do this. Like, I'm Hall of Fame. I'm a legend. And she has multiple. Every single step, she's like, I'm a fraud. I don't deserve this.
Mm.
Someone's going to find out I suck. Someone's going to realize I'm not that good. There's people better than me. Like, the doubt and the imposter syndrome for someone that I... you know, like, I put on a pedestal and think it's amazing. And the amount of, like, brutal honesty of her own self-doubt for stuff. I thought, this is incredible. Here's someone that I thought has it all figured out and is on, like, cloud nine and their life is great. And she's like, you know, I won this title and I broke down because I felt like, oh, my God, they're going to realize I suck and I don't deserve this and they're going to take it away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, could not get over it multiple times. And it just felt so real to read someone that you think is successful. Not you, Chris, or you, Kevin, but, you know, universal you. Someone the reader thinks is so successful, having the same doubts that we all have, I think, for things.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so eye-opening. I loved it. I got to write up, like, a full review and, you know, do, like, hashtags and stuff like that to... for the publisher. That's part of, you know, when you get an advanced copy, you're obligated to review it and all.
Yeah.
Which I was going to anyways. But it really, like, I mean, I'm not a, you know, beautiful 30-something red-headed woman from Ireland. I couldn't be more more different there.
Mm-hmm.
But just relating to a lot of it, of this good thing happened, and I couldn't let it just be a good thing, because I kept having doubt of, well, it just means something else is going to suck. It just means that, like, I'm going to fall that much further. You know, it was really just very interesting and an empathetic read.
Yeah, and I really appreciate those type of autobiographies, like when people are honest. And you can tell immediately, like when people are, you know, holding back and being superficial versus people that are just, you know, being completely honest and open and transparent. And it makes for a better read. Because they're relatable. You can relate to them. But yeah. some people don't want to be taken off that pedestal, so that's why you get the other versions where, you know, they're the best and the greatest that ever was, right? You get those autobiographies too, but no, that's good that she's, you know, being honest and, you know, like that's great. That makes for, you know, a great read. For sure.
Oh, I don't know the last time I read an actual book that fast.
That's awesome.
You know, I was just enjoying it so much, I was whipping through it.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right, so a couple things I got this week. I actually got three. I started watching season 2 of Invincible, the cartoon based on the Kirkman comic book that's on Amazon Prime. I really liked season 1. They made some changes to some of the characters and some of the story in season 1, but it worked. And season 2 seems to be working just as well. I'm only 4 episodes in, because they split season 2 in half, so like the second half comes out this month, so it kind of works out perfect anyway. But yeah, it's great animation. It's great voice work, and yeah, it's for the most part, the heart of the comic book is there. So, you know, I would love to see Invincible done as a movie or a live action TV show, but I also feel like you would have to change certain things, and there's certain things you wouldn't be able to do as readily, because some of Invincible takes place in space. So I think animation is like the perfect medium to tell that kind of story. One day, maybe the live action would be worth it, but I'm not sure. Because that's kind of like Avatar, The Last Airbender. I still haven't watched the live action one yet. I'm going to watch it because I love Avatar, The Last Airbender. But it was such a good animated show. I just don't know if it would translate as well to film, to live action. Like, I know the M. Night Shyamalan movie didn't. Like, that was terrible. But I'm told this one's better. So we'll see. I haven't got to that yet. And then I was going to mention that, I love again, speaking about Amazon Prime, I really love the Jack Ryan TV series. I love Jack Ryan movies, but I've never actually read the books that they're based from, the Tom Clancy novel. So I've went to some of the thrift stores, and I recently went to a used book sale at my local library, and I picked up a bunch of these Jack Ryan novels. And the cool thing is that used book sale, I think some of the hard covers that I got are actually first editions of these novels. And they're like in pristine condition. Like, I don't know where they were. Like, I'm assuming somebody brought them in for the library sale. They weren't used at the library. But they're practically brand new. And then, yeah, I got some paperbacks from the thrift store that, yeah, I don't think they've ever been read before. They're like brand new, but they're from, you know, printed in the 80s and the 90s. So anyway, the first one I'm going to read is The Hunt for Red October, because that's, you know, probably the first Jack Ryan movie I ever watched, with Alec Baldwin as Jack Ryan. So, yeah, going to be checking that out. And then this weekend, I did go see Dune Part 2. I did not get the bucket, unfortunately. I actually would have taken that home and put that on the shelf. Because, you know, it's cool that Dune's getting this love. Because I watched the first Dune, Part 1, back in 2021. And then I started reading the books. So the first book is Dune Part 1 and 2 as a film. So once I got past the Part 1 stuff, then I was into Part 2, reading the book. And then seeing it realized, Denis Villeneuve did an amazing job. Like, he really did. I mean, there's some things that he had to cut, some things he had to change. Just because it's already like a 3-hour movie, you can't, you know, like if you can't really take it any longer than that. The only complaints I have are very minor. Like, honestly, I think Dune Part 2 is better than the first one, but I highly recommend watching Part 1 before you go see Part 2, just so you're kind of in the loop. And if you find these movies interesting, definitely read the books, because there's certain things that they don't cover in the films that, as a book reader, when you see the, you know, these certain things referenced in the on the screen, you're like, that's awesome. Like, they did not forget that. They knew this was part of it. So they kept that in there. But they, you know, even though they didn't like have a big speech explaining it, it's still there. You can see it. And you can appreciate it. So I got a few minor complaints. The only one I have, really, is that Thufir Hawat, he was the Atreides Mentat in the first movie. He's not in the second movie at all. So in the book, he basically gets forced into service by the Harkonnens, like after they take out House Atreides, because... for people who don't know, a Mentat is basically like a human computer. In this future, machines that can think like humans, like basically AI, has been outlawed in this future because there was this jihad that took place thousands of years earlier. They call it the Butlerian Jihad, where thinking machines basically went to war with humans. And humans won... But, you know, to not have that happen again, they just basically outlawed AI. So to basically compensate for not having, like, because they don't even have, like, laptops like we do. Calculators are, I don't even think they have calculators. So they train certain humans to be what they call Mentats. So they... basically become like a human computer, like through this special training they got to do. So every great house has a Mentat who does all their calculations for them and all that sort of stuff. So Thufir was in the first movie as the Atreides Mentat. He wasn't seen in the second movie, but they don't say he was killed or anything. But in the book, he's forced into the service of the Harkonnens because they basically... feed him a lie and keep him in the service because they lose their Mentat, so they need a Mentat to help them out. So I kind of wish they hadn't cut him out. I wish they would have had him. And the irony is, I thought he would be in the movie because I saw the trailer for that Civil War movie that's coming out.
Yep.
And he's in it, like that actor. He's the older guy that's driving the truck. So I was like, oh, well, I'm going to see him in this movie. That's cool. And then he wasn't in it. So I was like, huh, that's weird. Because I know he's in the book. He dies right at the end of the book. So I wish maybe we'll get a director's cut. Because I think they did film scenes with him. But they cut it. And then also they filmed scenes with another character called Count Fenring. Fenring, he's played by, trying to blank on the actor's name. He was in the Watchmen TV series. Anyway, he's a good actor, and I was kind of interested to see him play that character, even though he's a very minor character in the book, but he wasn't in it at all. And then I know a lot of people are upset with Zendaya. Not a lot of people, but some people are upset with Zendaya's portrayal of Chani in this movie. And I don't want to spoil it, but basically the end of the movie, what happens with her character is very different than when the way the book ends with her. But I didn't mind it. Because in the book, the character of Chani isn't really fleshed out. Like, she's more basically there to explain things to Paul and the reader on how the Fremen do things, right? So you don't really need her to do all of that in the movie, because you can see them doing things on the screen. So her character really wasn't fleshed out in the book, but in the film they made her, you know, a strong character, which she would be, you know, if she's a Fremen living in the desert, she's fighting for the Harkonnens, or fighting to stop the Harkonnens, I should say. So I didn't mind that change. I thought, you know, it made sense. And I'm sure she'll be, if they do a Dune 3, which would be based on the second book, Dune Messiah, I could see her coming back for that. So we'll see. But like I said, overall, my nitpicks are minor. This is like the best science fiction film I've seen in a long time. Out of a scale of 1 to 5, I would give it like a 4.8. Like, it's almost perfect, you know, in terms of science fiction. And honestly, I think if they get a third movie and they make Dune Messiah and they do well with that, this is going to be like this generation's Lord of the Rings. I really believe that, because, you know, Peter Jackson did such an awesome job translating the Lord of the Rings trilogy to film. Not so much The Hobbit, but the Lord of the Rings, and it became this iconic trilogy. I really think Denis Villeneuve, with what he's doing with Dune, that this could be this generation or this decade's Lord of the Rings. Because, yeah, it's awesome. It really is. All right. Well, I think we can call this a podcast. But before we go, let's play that little game of where we can find you on the internet. So, Kevin, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me at Hellions Team on most of your social medias. And HelliansTeam.com is the home blog, which is where I'll have the book review and other fun things soon.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. For myself, quick programming note. Next week, there will not be an episode of the Pop Culture Pub from the Pop Culture Pub Podcast Network out. The reason being is I'm going to be away for the week. I'm going to be down in Houston on a work trip, so there will be no new episodes next week. But we will be returning in 2 weeks for a new episode of the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. And then the episode of Trek 171 that we were going to record, it has been pushed to later this month. So that is coming. And unfortunately, with my Houston trip, I had mentioned also on one of the podcasts that I was hoping to go down and meet Miss M. She used to podcast with me back in, I want to say, 2014, 2015. She was on my podcasts quite regularly. Unfortunately, I'm not going to get to see her this trip. So I was disappointed, but she unfortunately has other plans that week, and we can't make it work. Because she doesn't live right in Houston. She's an hour away from Houston. But, yeah, just unfortunate the way it works. And with my trip window, unfortunately we weren't able to make it make a meetup work, but maybe next time, if there's a next time. That'd be awesome. But anyway, on behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, and my co-host this evening, Mr. Kevin Decent, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to Geek Fallout Reloaded. This was the news and discussion podcast for Geeks by Geeks, and the Pop Culture Pub Podcast Network will be back in about 2 weeks' time. Security's got through.